Welcome to Speaking Out for the Blind here on ACB Radio, where your listening is our business. I'm Brian McKellen. This show airs every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Today we're talking with Sensei Devin Fernandez. Vision Aware says that sensei means teacher in Japanese. Devin was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa in 2002. Devin was determined to keep training in the martial arts despite his vision loss. Devin honored this commitment by starting a fitness center called Third Eye Insight. It's a New York-based fitness center offering meditation, yoga, and martial arts for the blind. Devin has studied martial arts for over a decade, and he's achieved a Shodan degree black belt in Ninpo Ninjutsu. Devin joins us to talk about his martial arts journey and his fitness center called Third Eye Insight. Hello, Sensei Devin.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for having me on the show today.
So let's first talk about your retinitis pigmentosa. I wonder if you might tell our audience about the disease.
Okay. Retinitis pigmentosa is a rare degenerative disease of the retina. And what happens is the rods and cones in the retina start to deteriorate at a slow rate. And it all varies for different people, which then initially it starts out as you start to lose your depth perception, you start to lose your color, you become colorblind, you start to lose your vision in the dark, and then it eventually increases to the point of blindness.
What's your experience with retinitis pigmentosa?
Well, initially, what happened to me, I was an electrician, and I was working on a live electric panel, and I slipped and fell into the panel, and the panel blew up, and that scarred my retina. And what my immune system did is it saw the scar tissue and saw that as an invader and tried to remove it. However, it removed the retina instead of the scar tissue. So even though they consider it to be retinitis pigmentosa, it's also an autoimmune condition.
So you said you worked on electronics. After finishing high school, we're going to get to before that in a little bit, but you went to DeVry University in Scottsdale, Arizona, and you studied electronics. Why did you study this subject, and how did you speak out about your ability to master it?
Well, at the time, I was very interested in electric components, the theory of electricity. Electronics was just starting to come up to the forefront. I had vision at that point. My vision was actually pretty good. So there was no issues vision-wise. The course material, of course, was a little difficult, but it was certainly worth the study time and the effort put into it.
Let's get to know more about your life and education a little more. You were a little boy growing up in the Bronx in New York. You're one of four siblings, and you've got three sisters. Both of your parents were educators. They taught you the importance of getting a good education at an early age. This is what I was reading on the website, Vision Aware. So how did your parents teach you this importance, and how did you speak out about following their advice during your education from just grade school through even college?
Well, my parents were very strict as far as getting an education and wanting the best for their kids. Through their actions, I showed this. I was brought up in a very strict family. So, you went to school, you did your homework, you do all the things that every parent wants their kids to do. And we were constantly watched over in the way of making sure that my parents made sure that we didn't get into trouble. And were there, it almost seems like they had a third eye where they told, they were able to see where we were going and prevent us from doing things that would actually, hurt us or lead us down the wrong road. So from that, you know, I hated it. But, you know, now as an adult, I'm so grateful that they were the way they were, because I could have went down any number of streets. And who knows where, you know, you come out on the other end of that. And now, you know, with my own children, I try to instill the same qualities in them. You know, nothing comes easy, and you have to work for what you want. And you know, so far we've been blessed. So I'm very grateful.
You've been into martial arts since you were a kid. What sparked your interest?
Well, you know, I've always had the interest in the martial arts since I was young, and the interest was sparked from the movies. We used to go watch go to the drive-ins and watch Chinese karate movies, and you used to get to watch like five movies in a sitting, and then Bruce Lee came out, and the Green Hornet came out, and you know, and then there was Chuck Norris, and you know, so it was a progression of talents that were out there that really sparked my interest and kept it going. And I had always wanted to get my black belt, and you know, thinking at the time, wow, black belt is such a great thing. But now as I study the martial arts, I realized that, you know, black belt is only part of the journey. You know, achieving it is, of course, a great honor. However, there's more to it than just receiving that belt around your waist.
Now you went to this special karate promotion, and you got an opportunity to participate in that. Tell us about the promotion.
Okay, we have a dojo around the corner from my home, and my nephew was a student there, and we went to see him getting his yellow belt promotion. So at the time, I was always interested, so I wanted to get my son interested as well. So we went for to view the promotion, and almost instantly, walking into the door, I just felt that this is a place to be. And that's over here at the Long Island Ninjutsu Center in West Islip. So what I ended up doing is I signed myself and my son up for a trial promotion. I think it was a 3-month promotion. And once the 3 months was over, I figured I'd bail out, let him continue. As long as he was able to do it and was interested, you know, that's the way we'd go. But once I got into the dojo, started training myself, meeting other people who were my age and training at the same level, and I just fell in love with it, and I've been there since.
What's Ninpo Ninjutsu, and how have you spoken out about your ability to perform this martial art?
Okay, Ninpo Ninjutsu is the art of the ninja, and everybody knows the ninjas, and they have a reputation of being stealth and secretive and protective and family oriented, and that some of the things that really resonated inside me. Initially, the martial arts were developed to protect your family, and then from your family, you protect your home and yourself and your loved ones and your neighbors and your community. So all these aspects of the martial arts all come from, you know, the protection of oneself and one's family. So that's kind of like a spiritual concept for me, because everybody wants to have a safe home, have a safe house, have a safe family. Make sure, you know, you leave the home, you're safe when you come home. You come home in one piece, you know. So with that, Ninpo is a mixture of many arts. And or combines many arts, and many arts have broken off from ninjutsu. So we do a lot of hand-to-hand techniques. We do a lot of throws like judo does. We do a lot of weapons. We do a lot of meditation. It's a well-rounded art. We do a lot of grappling like the mixed martial arts clubs do. A lot of ground fighting and stand-up fighting, and a lot of also what they call verbal judo. There's no need to fight. There's, you know, violence or the self-defense is really your last resort. So, you know, that's part of the art as well. And Nippon ninjutsu has quite a few hands-on techniques. So as a blind individual, that works for me very well, because once a person puts his hands on me, then I know where his body is. Then I know how to defend myself. If the person doesn't, obviously I can't see the person in front of me, so I don't know what the intention is, or, you know, even who's with him, with that particular person. So, but once the hands are on me, that's usually a sign of aggression, unless of course the person's going to help you. But you know, you'd have to make that decision at the time. So once the hands are on me, then I know where the person is, and the ability to defend myself is a lot clearer and a lot easier.
So you've got your Shodan degree black belt in Ninpo Ninjutsu, correct?
That's correct.
And I'm curious if there were those out there that might have questioned the ability of a low vision person like yourself to earn this high ranking or status.
Well, initially, no. Especially since I've you know, trained with the people I've trained with, they kind of grew with me as my condition grew. And for some people outside the dojo, yes, there's like, you know, how could that blind person do this or do that? And there's a great saying that the person who says it can't be done should get out of the way of the person doing it. And it's so true, because you put your mind to something, you can do it. Now, I received my Shodan degree quite a few years ago, and are going to test for my Ninpo, my Nidan degree, which is a second degree black belt. However, this time I'm doing it totally blind. So it's taking a little bit longer, only because I can't visually see what's going on. And so some of the techniques now are being modified so that I can sense them, feel them. You know, you have to use all your senses now. So, you know, you're listening to your hearing, your feelings, how close the person is to you, you know. So the training has changed for me, and I try to hand that down to my students as well. So so we all grow together again.
Let's now talk about Third Eye Insight. When and why did you decide to start this new fitness center? And how did you speak out about your ability to achieve this business goal?
Well, initially, this actually came to me through a meditation. And I was sitting at home one morning, and as I always do in the morning, I would sit and I meditate, and I would, you know, ask questions like, what do I need to learn from this experience? You know, who can I serve? You know, who can I help? And, I was looking for direction, looking for God to direct me. And what came to me was to first start to train with other people who have the same condition. So I looked, and I researched, and my family helped research, and there were no physical fitness programs where I live. There are a few in Manhattan, New York, where which is about a 45-mile trip for me, an hour and change on the railroads. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to do it, and I started to do that, and then. In continuing with my research, I was taking an hour class in Manhattan, traveling an hour and a half to get there, an hour and a half to get home. So for an hour class, it was like a 5-hour day, just to go for this one class. So I decided that I did this with my sister Kim Fernandez. She and I were talking. She says, "Well, let's start a program. Let's get our own thing together." And I had still been training here in West Islip, and I mentioned it to my teacher, and he says, "Well, you could do it here." I says, "Oh, that's fantastic." And I says, "Well, the thing is, I want to be able to offer this for free to the visually impaired and the blind community. I don't want anybody to turn around and say that they can't train, they can't work out, they can't receive the benefits of this program because they can't afford it. So my teacher again says, fine, you do it here. So we've been there since. So May of 2010, we started our first class, and we're going on our fifth year this coming May. The program has grown, and we've extended it to outdoor recreational events as well. And you know, we've gotten a lot of recognition through the other support groups from the blind community. And so it's something that's needed. It's something that's, you know, the blind community is so underserved, especially in this area. It's mind-boggling that there really aren't more programs like this.
So what martial arts classes do you teach at Third Eye? And how do you speak out about your abilities to teach the moves to each blind and visually impaired student that has you as their teacher or sensei?
Well, the way I teach the students is, again, is hands-on. So we teach a primarily a self-defense program. So again, if somebody grabs you here, somebody does this, this is how you can defend yourself. And everybody has different abilities. So everybody learns on their own rate and own speed. And we work with them. And I have a couple of volunteers who are sighted, who continuously are part of my program. And they help to let me know and to let the students know if their body position is at a position. Most of the curriculum that I've learned, I'm able to modify from a grab. And it's obvious I can't see a punch. I can't see a kick. But if I grab onto that hand, I grab onto that leg, now the story changes. So, you know, that's some of the things that we try to work on. And a lot of our self-defense techniques are used in everyday life. You know, just stepping out of the way, just moving and even not confronting. You know, there's no reason to confront somebody if his opinion is different than yours. Who cares? You know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And there's certainly no reason to get into a confrontation about it. So, you know, so a lot of the training is sometimes what we call common sense. You know, but then out in the street, common sense isn't so common. You know, people don't realize that, you know, their words do hurt, you know, and they don't care. They just want to tell you what they feel and don't care about what the person that's getting the abuse is feeling. So, you know, we try, you know, add a little sensitivity, add a little thought to what you do, what your words, you know, so that it's not just martial arts. So there's a lot involved in strategies and, you know, just doing the right thing. And again, what goes around comes around. So you give out good, you get back good. So that's a big point of ours.
Do your students or families ever express any safety concerns about participating in martial arts?
Yes, of course. With any martial arts program, there's always, or any sports program, there's always the likelihood that you can get an injury. And because we conduct a class a certain way, we limit the amount of injuries. People are not too close to each other, so if you fall down, you're going to fall onto somebody. When we do use weapons, you're far enough away from a person that you're not going to hit somebody else with another weapon. And yes, you know, I've in my martial arts career, I've experienced many injuries, and every time I injured myself, I tell myself I'm crazy. I'm not doing this again. And as soon as the injury heals, I'm right back in the dojo again. You know, it's just a feeling that you love it. It's you know, it's a great feeling when you accomplish something, and especially when somebody tells you you can't.
How can our listeners find out more about Third Eye Insight and take a class or even just get involved to help out?
Well, you can check us out on the web. It's iinsight.org, and we have quite a bit of information on there. We have a page there, Forces for Good, and these are people who look out for the blind community, people who advocate for the blind community. Thank you. And also with that, we are going to now start producing a self-defense video for the blind, which we are hoping to air on our public access network here on Long Island. And those videos will then be able to be viewed or listened to on our webpage.
Great. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Sure. We're a non-for-profit organization, and as all non-for-profit organizations are experiencing difficulties in fundraising, and so if you'd like to make a donation, become a sponsor, you can go to our website and sign up and become a sponsor. If you have equipment that you'd like to donate, we certainly accept new equipment or slightly used equipment. And for volunteers, we are always looking for volunteers. So if anybody's in the area that'd like to join us and become a volunteer and get a little martial arts training as they grow, as they come and join us, then we would certainly appreciate that.
Devin, you're an inspiration to us all and future martial arts masters out there. We wish you the best of luck in your business and your martial arts and fitness center. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian.
Before we go, let me give you listeners a quick reminder. I welcome comments and suggestions on today's show or past and future shows. Just visit and like me on Facebook at Speaking Out for the Blind or follow me on Twitter at Speak Out Blind. That's all for this edition of Speaking Out for the Blind. Thanks for listening, and remember to speak out.
Share the joy of that Southern spirit. You can feel it coming through. Hear that good time gospel music. Everybody share the joy. Share the joy.
Hey everybody, hi, this is Denny Huff.
And this is Chip Haley, and we'd like to invite you to listen to Encouragement for the Journey.
We'll bring you some of the very best in yesterday and today's gospel music.
Gospel music that lifts the soul and speaks to the heart.
Every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on ACB Radio Interactive.
We will be featuring Southern Country and Bluegrass Gospel.
Once again, that's every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. right here on ACB Radio Interactive.